I'd like to turn to the book of Jeremiah. This first chapter of the book of Jeremiah came before my heart this morning. We've been enjoying many references to the book of Isaiah in the last few days, and how much more so we find that there's similar characteristics between the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And here in this book of Jeremiah, I thought of how much it is similar to the days that we're in. Jeremiah lived in a day that he saw good time, and then, of course, he saw terrible time. And perhaps we'll go in the further. Let's just read a few verses together just to get the thoughts on this. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. I'm just going to stop there for now. It's interesting when we read through the Word of God to see how most books, if not all, the beginning verse introduces a lot about the thought of the book, or it tells us a lot about things in regard to the book. Here, the very first word mentioned here is the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the name of Jeremiah itself means the exaltation of the Lord. So it tells us perhaps quite a bit now about this book. The exaltation of the Lord. Now, he is mentioned here that he is the son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah. Hilkiah means that God is my portion. Oh, isn't it interesting to see that? Once the father, with the full knowledge that God is his portion, and that his son was raised to be the exaltation for God. And then we see other names too. That's interesting here. It says that Hilkiah of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Well, this name Anathoth, I believe it means a place where it has answers, a place where there are songs, but I also believe it also means a place with poverty. And also here that it talked about that being in the land of Benjamin. And we know that Ben in Scripture means the son, and Jamin is the right hand, the son of the right hand. Here's a place. And perhaps this introduces us a little bit about Jeremiah himself. Now, this book was written around 630, 629 B.C. At that time, we knew that, it says here, he served Josiah and then his sons. We know that Josiah was one of the better kings. Good, we want to class with that. But then it mentioned about his sons, Zedekiah and Jehoiakim, where we know those last, if you were to look at the last book of Chronicles and go through the last five kings of Judah, and you'll find that the last four, being Josiah's sons and grandsons, they were not good before God at all. So it gives us the conditions, as if it were, of what Jeremiah, being the one whose name is the exaltation of the Lord, he has to work with people as such. people like Josiah that he worked under in good time, strong time, faithful time on the surface. And then he has to face the dreadful time to come. Now, we know this history of scriptures. 630 B.C. is not very long before 606 B.C. 606 B.C. was the time that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came in and took Israel captive. Men like Daniel of old were taken away captive. So here is the man who has to proclaim what is to happen. Knowing that there were terrible times ahead of them. Knowing that the conditions that caused the terrible time. We know that the word of God said Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. He actually used that phrase in there, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. He was used as a rod of chastening for his people. So let's read on a little bit, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And said, I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of the faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So we see here that a commission was given to Jeremiah. And we see here Jeremiah is like many of us. Are we not afraid to speak for the Lord? And we know especially prophets of old, when a prophet is sent with a message, more often than not, that message is not well received. The reason a message needs to be delivered is because the people did not do what was right before God. So we see here, the Lord has encouraged him to let him know that he knew him even before he was born. He was sanctified. Oh, does it not remind us how we too have been predestinated to be conforming to the image of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to be like him. We know that from the book of Romans chapter 8. And it tells us that how we have been justified, we have been sanctified. In fact, we learn more about that, and we shall be glorified. So here he was encouraged to speak for the Lord. And you know, we find even today, when a message is from the Lord, there are often oppositions. There are things that people do not want to hear. And perhaps even as a gathering as this, with 600 and some odd, who we are supposed to be of one mind, we are to follow what the Word of God have to say. And I'm sure there are certain things, if we want to cause problems, we can raise certain issues and we will be divided on. But do we go by what the Word of God tells us? And how sad. How sad. I had a brother approach me because I made a comment. The comment I made was that we need to walk the path of separation. And this brother believed that he should be with all Christians. Oh, how sad. And then he said to me, he said, you know, we're told if we by eating meat would offend a brother, you shouldn't eat meat. So you shouldn't talk about things that could offend someone. And I beg the difference here, that if the Lord hath on our heart to speak from his word, we're not to be afraid of the people if we are to speak from the Lord. Let's go on to verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched his mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Well, the Lord has told him that when he will speak for him, he will help him. And what a change of a person he become after that. But now, as a test, the Lord wanted him to see, what seest thou? And perhaps that too should be a question for us as we look around us. What seest thou? Let's read on this in verse 11. As Jeremiah looked, he said, And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. What seest thou? What do you see, brethren? Do we see what Jeremiah of old seen? He see problems and difficulties around him. There is no doubt about that. As we look at one another, we can easily find fault. As we look around us, there are many things that can discourage us. But here, the Lord told him to look around. What seest thou? What did he see? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Do we see that rod? What does rod remind us of? Often as children, we would think of that rod as a rod of correction, is it not? I suppose we can feel that. But another thought I have on that rod, I was thinking of the rod that Aaron had. They were to choose from those 12 rods. Do you remember that? And the next morning, what did they see on that rod? Oh, it was budded with almonds. Is it not a beautiful picture? As we see that rod, the rod, a picture of our high priest on high. You know, almond tree, in another passage, I can't think of it for now, but it speaks also of a tree that was being despised. A tree that, as if it looked at, would be something like it turned all white as if it was old and be despised. But here, we are looking at this almond tree, or rather this rod from the almond tree. And we had that before us the other day. Let's turn to that Hebrews chapter. And we'll keep our finger in our chapter. Hebrews chapter 3. We have a picture and be reminded of the high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How precious it is too, as we see, as we look around us, what seest thou? We see our high priest interceding for us. We see Jesus, the Son of God, the one that we can say here, let us hold fast of our professions. We know we have that one who knows how we feel. We're reminded, tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. How precious. Now, what else did he see? Let's go back to our chapter here, and I do not wish to take too much more time here. I'd like to make room for others. Verse 12. Verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. This time he sees something differently. He sees there's a boiling pot. This seething pot is phase. It says the phase thereof is toward the north. Oh, he sees trouble, doesn't he? He sees judgment coming. He sees the fact that the enemies, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, are coming down from the north. Do we see that too, brethren? As we look around us, do we see the enemy seems to be so strong, so great? What are we to do? Do we give up? Let's see what Jeremiah have to do. Verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Oh, those judgments, not because of these terrible people that have power over the people of Israel. It is rather from the hand of that righteous God, for his people that has been defiant to his word. For they have worshipped other gods. I trust that this should be lessons enough for us. Lessons enough for us that we do have the righteous God. A God who loved and delights to see us worshiping him in truth, in spirit, and in truth. You know, you may say, we're not like them. We don't have other gods. But do we have that undivided heart we ought to? Do we see no man save Jesus only? Is there other things in our hearts that divide our enjoyment, that would defer his coming? You know, often we will look around and we will address the young people, warning the young people how easily we can be divided, our hearts be divided from things of this world. But you know, as I look around this room, speaking perhaps as an older one now, how much more so we know that our hearts are no different than the young people's hearts. Perhaps outwardly, we can hide it well. Is there anything in our hearts that take us away from the enjoyment of our blessed Lord? I believe it was at this conference that we mentioned about prayer meeting. Is it not the proof right there? When we see the low attendance at a prayer meeting, I say it with shame. There's always something, and we have good reasons for things, but the result is we are not where the Lord would like us to be. We can justify it. There was a young man, he's here. I won't mention his name. It was just a few minutes ago, actually after breaking of bread, I said to him, I forget exactly how I said, didn't see you sitting with your folks. And he started defending why he was in the last row. I said, you don't have to defend to me why you weren't sitting where you ought to be. You don't have to answer to me. But do we have that conscience that bothers us? Oh, we need to turn to the Lord, do we not? And spend our time we ought to. Verse 17 in our chapter. Thou, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. How precious it is that Jeremiah was not told to give up the fight. Oh, here, he was to gird up his loin. He was to arise and speak unto them as the Lord has commanded him to do. And he was told not to be dismayed at their faces. The Lord's with him in doing so. We know from the life of Jeremiah, he was not a popular person, was he? He had to walk that path, truly that path of separation. He had to follow what the Lord had him to do. He knew the enemies were coming in. He had to face that. The enemies from without. And more so, he had to face and endure the problems and difficulties from within. But he had to stand. He has to stand for what the Lord would have him to do. He had to suffer with his people. Is there not lessons in there for us too, brethren? Would we stand for the Lord? We're told to hold fast to the things that we have. Is there anything you have that you can hold fast to? What is there to hold fast to? In the book of Revelation with the seven churches, I was thinking of the church of Philadelphia. We know that well. They were commended with two things. It says, for thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. They were told that they had but a little strength, but they kept his word and denied his name, and they were told to hold fast. And I trust that the Lord will help us to hold fast, that we would keep his word and not denied his name, despite of all the problems and difficulties around us, that we would look to the Lord and rise above it all, knowing that he's the one, the only one able to keep and preserve us.